morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
China has been denied involvement in the electronic spy network, which researchers say infiltrated computers in government offices around the world.
A team of scientists reported to Congress that salmon produced by hatcheries in the Columbia Basin are no substitute for salmon spawned naturally in rivers.
And President Barack Obama has asked General Motors head Rick Wagner to step down.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers this afternoon, highs in the 50s. Tonight, clouds, showers, and temperatures in the 30s and 40s. And then tomorrow, more of the same.
And first, we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Last night, APAC, or the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, held its annual dinner at the Middleman Jewish Community Center. Over 100 protesters were there to greet attendees and remind them that they are essentially supporting Israeli war crimes. KBOO's evening news director, Jenka Soderberg, was there and has this report. Greetings, Jenka.
Hi, Chris. Thank you. And so last night, the protesters gathered outside of the Middleman Jewish Community Center. There were over 100, as you mentioned. The organizers said that they have been extremely disappointed in the Oregon legislators, and especially Governor Ted Kulongoski. And he became the target of much of the protests as he came to the dinner last night. It's unknown if any of the other Oregon state representatives or senators were at the dinner at this time, but last year a number of Oregon representatives did attend the APAC dinner. This year the protest was much larger than in years past, and people gathered with signs calling for an end to U.S. aid to Israel, an end to the $7 million a day that the U.S. Sends to Israel in military aid and financial aid. There were no real scuffles, although at towards the end of the protest at about 6:30, the police had cordoned off the driveway, which is part of the public sidewalk, and not allowed people to walk across that part of the sidewalk. Joe Walsh, the lone vet, who is known for running for Congress last year on the Green Party ticket, actually walked across that driveway. He's 75 years old, holding an oxygen tank that he was wheeling along with him. The police tried to stop him and said that he wasn't allowed to cross that driveway. They then arrested him and took him downtown and charged him.
Just in closing, what was the reaction in general of the attendees as they were going, and how did they respond to the presence of the protesters?
Most of the attendees didn't respond at all. They simply went on their way, went into the in the driveway. One woman stopped traffic with her car and started shouting about how her son was in the Israeli army, to which Palestinians kind of responded back that that her son had injured and killed Palestinians. There wasn't a whole lot of interaction in that people were going in with their cars and weren't stopping to talk to any of the protesters. There was one report of a protester getting egged, having an egg thrown at them, but there wasn't a whole lot of back and forth.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Just that the lone vet Joe Walsh is now out of jail and has, I believe, a court hearing coming up for the charges, I think, obstruction of an officer.
That was Jenka Soderberg, KBOO's evening news director. Thank you so much for that, Jenka.
Thanks, Chris.
On Friday, a team of scientists reported to Congress that salmon produced by hatcheries in the Columbia Basin are no substitute for salmon spawned naturally in rivers. The so-called experts said that frankenfish can still help restore wild runs if significant changes are made. The report said fish spawned in the wild have the genetic diversity to weather changes in their environment, but 130 years of substituting hatchery for habitat has produced fish that are slowing efforts to restore dwindling runs.
A 1964 treaty signed by the United States and Canada created the framework for joint operation of the Columbia River's dams and divided the power benefits. The treaty led to the construction of three storage dams in British Columbia, which provided flood control and ramped up electrical output at downstream dams. Now, policymakers and academics say the technocratic document, which doesn't address endangered salmon or climate change, is due for a rewrite.
Portland's branch of Habitat for Humanity has built two groundbreaking homes on a quiet corner of Northeast Webster Street. 40% more efficient than houses built to code, the homes are on target to achieve Platinum Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design certification from the U.S. Green Building Council, the highest rating available. They'll be the first LEED Platinum Habitat homes in Oregon and two of only a handful nationally. The houses are showcases for now. Many of their sustainable features are still too expensive to put in all of the 20 or so houses that Habitat for Humanity builds each year in Oregon.
It won't look so expensive when we're flat out of oil, will it?
Mm.
Another pilot program sponsored by the Bonneville Power Administration, the Emerald Peoples Utility District, is offering an incentive to Eugene area homeowners willing to try a ductless heat pump. The incentive includes $1,500 in rebates and zero interest on loans for the device. The ductless heat pumps use electricity to transfer heat between outdoors and indoors, much like a refrigerator.
Mm. Ratepayer advocates want state regulators to suspend a rule that encourages Portland General Electric to expand energy efficiency programs. A traditional rate links the utility's profit to the amount of electricity it sells. This tends to discourage utilities from promoting energy efficiency. And while we're at it, why not give us, the public, another chance to own our own energy source?
The U.S. Coast Guard says a tugboat pushing three empty grain barges has banged one of them into the pylon of the Hood River Bridge across the Columbia River. Right. And QMAX supertankers laden with liquefied natural gas won't pose any problems on the river. That is, if they make it over the Columbia River bar.
Mm. A Lakeview ranching family is using low-tech methods to transform waste from their custom butchering business into high-grade fertilizer. Ross and Kelly McGarva own Lakeview Lockers. They're working with the State Department of Agriculture and the DEQ to use butcher waste to improve soils. Kelly admits he was skeptical, but says it shows tremendous potential as a commercial fertilizer.
Meanwhile, in Harney County, authorities discovered the remains of 60 horses and 20 cattle at a ranch co-owned by a woman who was recently arrested on charges of animal neglect. Sheriff's deputies took Roxana Still into custody after getting a complaint about two horses dying on the ranch. Deputies also saw about 75 malnourished animals and returned to the ranch to remove them. While there, they discovered three pits filled with remains. Composting! Just composting, that's all they're doing, right?
A business group says it expects to receive federal stimulus money to pay for a study examining a possible transportation network to help travelers in Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, and Montana get around more easily. The Yellowstone Business Partnership wants to examine forming a regional transportation initiative in areas surrounding Yellowstone National Park using public and private carriers. Yellowstone. Reduced to a coffee table book and an ATV theme park.
Yeah, I don't like the two terms Yellowstone Park and business group in the same sentence. That worries me. Well, as the world knows, at this juncture, President Barack Obama has asked, not fired, mind you, just asked in passing, for General Motors top dog Rick Wagoner to step down. That plus his request that the unions take another hit for the home team sent Wall Street into the gutter. But, you know, as a plan, I don't think that what Barack Obama was talking about sounded too bad. KBOO Spencer Raymond joins us to consider the implications. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. You know, again, we are seeing things that we've never seen in this country before. First, it was a round of bailouts, and now, on top of the bailouts, it's strict, not really control, but really telling these big three automakers what to do, and the person who's telling them to do that is the president, so you'd think that they better well obey what he says. We should keep in mind that Ford is being left out of all this. Ford was not mentioned in Obama's talk this morning at all. Ford never asked for any bailout money, so that's one U.S. automaker that I guess has things right and has been able to stay going. But, Chris, as you mentioned, you said that GM is being directed, that the CEO, Ed Wagner, told to resign. And what this shows is the Obama administration's willingness to really take the CEOs by the cuff of the shirt, shake them, and say, you know what, you got to get your act together, or we as a government are not going to help you, and we're going to let you fail. And it's not in anybody's interest in this country to see these automakers fail.
So people are querying why, if Barack Obama has asked for Rick Wagner to step down, he did not do the same with regard to failing banks and, of course, AIG. Why, in your opinion, were their CEOs of these entities not also asked to step down?
Well, Chris, you have to look at how the business of a car company and how the business of a bank and an investment bank differ. At the CEO, at the leadership level of a company like a car business, you have lots of decisions being made about product development. How do you market things to your consumers? How do you market them around the world? How do you make a product that is desirable for people to buy? That simply has failed in GM's case. I mean, their auto sales are down. They've been down for years. Honda and Toyota are more common cars in America these days, and they're made in Japan. And so this is a leadership development decision over several years that have not worked. On the banking side, on the investment banking side, it's not just the CEOs who made all these shoddy investments in mortgage-backed securities and that whole bit. It was investors on the more middle-of-the-road employee level who, as a group, worked together to create those black markets that no one really knew anything about. Sure, you can say the CEOs let it happen, but it wasn't a planning. It wasn't an error in planning, per se. It was just a bet to make money, whereas in GM, they just have been designing cars that no one wants to buy.
My favorite part of the whole deal is a Chrysler situation. Apparently, they've got 30 days to come to terms with ownership by Fiat. I can picture it. It'll look like a toaster with huge fins on it. This should be definitely the vehicle of the future. Thank you so much for that. Of course, we've been speaking with KBOO's Spencer Raymond. Thank you so much, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
And now a few international headlines. China has denied involvement in the electronic spy network, while researchers say infiltrated computers in government offices around the world. The Canadian research was commissioned by the Dalai Lama's office. He had feared computers of his Tibetan exile network had been infiltrated.
It's truly alarming. The malware that in question here has the ability to see and hear in rooms. It could be remotely triggered. It's something to take careful note of. And, of course, the Chinese government is hotly denying that it is the source of this new bug. And now, O wild west wind, thou breath of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven, like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing, yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes. That, of course, is Percy Bysshe Shelley, and here's the Associated Press. Plantna and human diseases that travel with the wind can spread more quickly than previously believed. The findings cause concern not only for some human diseases, but also a new fungus that threatens global wheat production. The research concludes that invading diseases do not always progress in an orderly, constant rate, and that some airborne pathogens can actually accelerate as they move.
In London, protesters on the Put People First demonstration marched through the streets, decrying Prime Minister Gordon Brown's carefully laid plans for a G20 deal on worldwide tax cuts. Brown's strategy has also been scuppered by an eve of summit ambush by European leaders. Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, led the assault on the Prime Minister's global New Deal. The Spanish finance minister, Pedro Solbes, also dismissed new cash being pledged. And Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president, has insisted that radical reform of capitalism is more important than tax cutting. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Monday, March 30th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Steve Nassar. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, If You Love This Planet, Dr. Caldicott has media critic Jeff Cohen.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.